to another episode of the Multi-Schools Lowdown. In this episode, it's just myself, and I'm going to be talking about the different types of feedback we've got from young people all around COVID-19. And I think it's important that we take time within this period to try and understand the effects that it's having on children right now, but also the effects that it will have on children moving forward. And everything we do is always based around young pupil voice. And we were asked recently to collect the views of young people, and we thought that it was also a good opportunity to get their views included within a podcast. So what I want to do within this episode is to touch on a few things that young people have told us they are currently worried about. The first thing they wanted me to start with was to talk about the news. Now, the news is obviously there for a reason. We need it for critical information. And I'm not for one second suggesting that we don't have the news, because I think all of us would appreciate we need it and it does give us vital information. However, what the children are telling us is that the way that the news is even read, the words and the language in the way things are described intensifies the situation. So I think we have to be really careful about what we expose our young people to, how often we let them listen to the news, and again, the news also being very wary about the things they say. I think that's really important, and I think they have to take some responsibility for that. Of course, this is a serious situation. People need to know how serious it is to ensure they stay home and they support our NHS and they save lives. However, it also needs to make sure that we're not dramatising situations. And I don't just mean with the current situation we find ourselves in, but moving forward. And I think we have to acknowledge how this can make our young people feel. So that is where our feedback really started, and around the way that the news is sometimes portraying the information can make our young people feel very anxious and worried. The top thing that came out of us talking to young people was around friendships. Friendships are something that obviously a lot of our young people have and cherish. At this time, the way they can socialise and communicate with their friends is very, very different. Now, obviously, we are in a period of our lives that we are able to communicate. Most of us are able to communicate through phones, through social media, through iPads, using different apps, whatever it may be. However, we also must acknowledge that not all children have that opportunity. So that's the first part of this. There are going to be some young people that have been maybe self-isolating if they have a health condition as well for up to 12 weeks, possibly even longer if we take into account we've got the summer holidays coming up too. And they may have had very, very, if any, limited communication with their friends and the effect that that may have on their mental health. We also need to consider those children that are communicating through social media, but as we know, e-safety and trying to keep children safe on social media is very, very hard. And the consequences of that will not be seen, unfortunately, until a few months moving forward. So again, we have to take into account some of the things that the children may have been seeing or listening to, maybe slightly different to the experiences they may have had when they're socializing at school. And that must be taken into account as well. And then thirdly, again, through this form of communication, when children actually have to go back and be in front of their friends and communicate, that it could have a negative effect on the way children communicate and verbalize their feelings socially in front of groups. Some children who maybe have had high levels of anxiety even before going into this situation, just the thought of going back to school and being around other people could be massive. And again, we should not underestimate that. That is what the young people are telling us. The young people are telling us they are really worried about their friendships and the effect it will have on their friendships moving forward. And in a second, we'll come to some of the things that children tell us will help them when they go back to school, and friendships and how schools manage kind of social situations and friendships is going to be top of their agenda. We've also been speaking to schools, and we've been looking at some of the things that schools have been doing to support young people across the county. One of the key things they've obviously been doing is checkups. So staff have been checking in with students to ensure that they are coping as well as they can in this difficult situation. I would encourage all schools to do this. I was going to say I'd be amazed if schools weren't. Unfortunately, we have had some feedback to say that there aren't. Schools aren't really communicating very well with parents and with children. And all I would say on that is that in this time, schools do play a massive role in ensuring that parents and children have the communication and the information that they need. Now, from the school's perspective, I know it's not always been easy for schools as well, because information can not always be 100% clear. However, when we do get that information, I think it's important that schools help to give that out, because I know from talking with children and also parents, schools are one of their key areas where they look to get that information. We spoke about the problems with kind of mainstream news at the start of this podcast, and schools can play a massive role in making sure they cut through the jargon and they get to the points, and parents and young people can feel a bit easier about the situation. So that is a real another kind of point that came from the young people. We also spoke to some schools, a number of schools, who have used this time to put their staff on extra mental health training, obviously through virtually. Again, that is a fantastic idea. If we look forwards to the impact of what this is going to have on our young people, if we appreciate that the numbers were historically the highest they have been in regards to mental health and the difficulties with mental health they have ever been, even before coming into this pandemic, then obviously it would tell you that on the other side of the pandemic, then it's going to be difficult. So to ensure that staff have those skills to be able to support young people's mental health is really important. So again, from my perspective and from young people's perspective, from what they've been telling us, getting staff trained in areas of mental health right now, if you can, is a very wise move. Moving forwards onto now, we wanted to also talk to young people about what they feel they may need when coming back to school, and friendships and having the opportunity to socialize was top of their list. And I think all schools would acknowledge that. And I don't think there would be any school, I'd be amazed there would be any school anywhere in the country that thinks once schools are allowed to go back, that things will just, you know, return to normal. That won't be the case. That cannot be the case, because quite simply, this has never happened before. And it will need to be acknowledged. It cannot just simply be brushed under the carpet. And the young people are telling us that. The young people at the moment are being starved of those opportunities to get outside. Obviously, some people with gardens and the obviously rules around one form of exercise a day have helped. And the weather, touch wood, has been good. But it is not the same as being able to get outside when you want, as many times as you want. And what the young people have told us is that when they get back to school, they would love the opportunity to have more outside learning opportunities, to reconnect with the outside. And I think if you balance this alongside children's mental health and the importance of supporting that when we do go back to school, I think we really have to consider, are schools doing enough to get our young people outside and to learn? There are so many learning opportunities that can be found outside. And I know, just again, speaking from young people, this time, although it is a very negative time, there have been positives in regards to being able to get outside where they can with their family members, to go and explore, to have conversations that they may not have had the time to do before, or may have not felt they had the time before. So it's really important that I think schools acknowledge that too. In this current situation, obviously, we are aware there are some young people who are still going to school. There are teachers who are still teaching, and there are schools that are still running. And one of the things that we heard back from the key worker children, if we put it like that, is that their levels of anxiety going into school have been very high. Now, I'm sure schools are doing brilliant jobs in being able to manage that. But the key reason they told us for feeling anxiety before going into school was the fact that not all the children were going to be there. Were there going to be any people they could be friends with? Were they be able to socialize? And I'm sure as I've just said, schools are doing different things to manage that. But again, I don't think we should dismiss the effect that that may have on those groups of children moving forward, and how that may affect, you know, social dynamics within classrooms, within playgrounds, and how that can change the way that some children may act or even feel moving forwards. Obviously, one of their worries too is worries about catching the virus. And quite interestingly, speaking to young people, they have told us that whenever we do return to school, if it is to be fairly soon, they feel that children, teachers, people in schools should be entitled to the correct PPE equipment. Now, that is not just come from one child, it's come from a number of children who have told us that they feel if they're going back into schools and numbers are still high, then they should be entitled to have an education, absolutely, but for it to be a safe education. And I feel that would have a lot of support from people within the education system. And I am simply telling you what young people are telling us. And it's really important that we acknowledge and we listen. If it's not safe, I do feel, again, that's going to have a very negative effect on young people. We've also spoke to parents, because I think everyone would acknowledge that when we're talking about schools, it's a whole team approach. That is what makes a great school, is when schools acknowledge that it's not just the teachers, it's the parents, it's ultimately the children at the heart of everything, and it's the services around the outside that support it too. And parents have been telling us that one of their biggest worries is that moving forwards, acknowledging that schools will return to some sort of, you know, working order by autumn, winter time, that obviously this is the time when most commonly in schools there will be coughs and colds. Now, I think we have to be really clear about the types of information and advice that's going to be out there around this time of year, when we've just come, hopefully, out the other side of a pandemic. Because obviously, coughs and colds can create anxieties within parents and children at the best of times. Within this period, you know, a class of 30, one child develops a high temperature and a cough, that if that filters out to other parents and to other children in the class, that is going to need some reassurance, and that is going to need some medical advice around that. So that is some of the feedback as well. And I think it's a really clear point that we've got from the parents. Finally, I think the bit we wanted to touch on that young people had told us and they wanted some kind of advice and guidance around was transition and how that's going to work when they go back to school. I think firstly, if we really consider SEN children as well, usually in term three, there would be a lot of work around preparing our young people for moving on. And when I say moving on to the next class, or even potentially maybe even leaving school, obviously schools aren't having the same opportunities to be able to do that at first hand within this term. And whenever children do return, there obviously will be some work needed around that. And that's what the young people are telling us. Now, speaking to some schools and to some young people, they do tell us that is going to be the biggest challenge when they go back. Because obviously, if it is the other side of the summer term, in normal circumstances, young people would be moving up a year. And they may even be moving from primary to secondary, from secondary to colleges, and so on. There will need to be some work around how this is managed. Now, what some young people want is the opportunity to have a transition period where they do go back to the same teachers. Logistically, this is not easy. And I understand that some schools, all schools, if you look at primary, they'll have year sixes who will be leaving. They'll have reception children who will be coming in. If you look at secondaries, they'll have the year sevens obviously coming in and the year 11s who will be leaving. So this is not easy by any stretch of the imagination. But I think there needs to be some creativity around how this will work. And there needs to be some guidance from people in those positions to be able to guide and support schools. Now, one real kind of radical idea out there is that you really look at, you know, restructuring how the academic year will even look next year. So you do have a kind of rolling term one where you look at how the transitions will be managed. Now, if young people are telling us that this is going to be needed, I think we do need to listen to that. I think schools will do things individually where this is concerned. But I think, again, like I say, I cannot emphasize enough, when young people are telling us something and how it's going to make them feel, I feel we have a duty to try and be as creative and to look at things and possibilities the best we can. There is no way that everybody is going to get things right separate to just education. This has been a difficult and unprecedented time for everybody, but I really do believe that we should listen to our young people and take into account what they are telling us. So to sum up, ultimately, schools have a duty when young people return to think about the impact that this is going to have on them. Not just presume that they can just go back, everything will be normal. We have a duty to their mental health. And I think this time has also made us realise, and I hope it has, that it's not just about the academics. It's not just about who is the smartest person. We should acknowledge the differences that we have within our classrooms and ensure that the right support is in place when young people return to our schools.
Everyone is different and special in their own way. We should be including everyone, so let's start today.